another soul wanders in its pictures or, invisible to us human beings, it may tramp over the fields of the earth, with suffocation attacks as its person once caused to the animals, or the suffering of the animals, which were cruelly fished from the rivers, lakes and oceans, now causes suffering and pain in the guilty soul. It suffers what its person previously had inflicted upon other beings respectively. All excesses towards people and animals, to the point of greed in wanting to be ever richer, through which others suffered and died of hunger, is experienced by the soul of the overly powerful person in the beyond. Everything, but really everything, that was not paid off by it as a human being, will be experienced and suffered by every soul on its soul body. Only once person and soul have recognized their terrible deeds, feel deep remorse, once they ask for forgiveness from within and forgive, in turn, does the soul then follow the path that leads to higher forms of life, provided it was forgiven. After the sequence of pictures, which calls up conditions of suffering and pain in its soul body, a question comes toward the soul. Does it want to continue to develop in the realms of the souls of the finer material cosmos, or does it want to incarnate again, when two people, that is, a parent couple with similar programs, offer the soul the possibility to incarnate? How it then continues for the incarnated soul, the person, is determined by the new person, himself. Life on Earth is extremely dangerous, but no soul is forced to incarnate again. The human being has his own development as a human being in his own hands. Every person is a wayfarer, whose path leads, starting from the earth, and later, as a soul via the spheres of the beyond, to the eternal homeland, to the kingdom of God, once the consciousness has opened for this. But each person decides himself, how, when, and for how long and where, its soul will linger. The caste of priests conveyed a distorted image of God. At all times, God, the Eternal, sent divine beings who incarnated as human beings and interpreted God's word, in order to convey his word to the people. Mankind calls the heavenly interpreters the prophets of God. They are the true prophets, who do God's will. The eternal truth of God through his interpreters, through the prophets, was at all times tweaked, tailored and falsified by the caste of priests, and what is still in existence as the unadulterated is attributed to the past and tailored and falsified in such a way that what it presented and still presents as God's message corresponded and still corresponds today to the caste's way of thinking and acting as it relates to power. The caste of priests imposed what they wanted on God, the Eternal. They depicted God to the people as a God of vengeance and an avenger, who condemns his children to death, who imposes on them the eternal punishment of hell, etc., etc. Basically, it was and is the priests, however, who pressed and pressed the people with such concepts into a straitjacket. God, the Eternal, however, is the love and the freedom. God is just, but not a God of vengeance or an avenger. Whoever looks into this world and does not shy away from looking more closely will recognize who bears the greatest guilt for the state of this world. The fall from the kingdom of God. Often, we read or hear about the fall from the kingdom of God. What took place in the kingdom of God? It was divine beings who rebelled against God's law of love, freedom and unity. They wanted to be God, themselves. This phenomenon is surely nothing new to us, human beings, particularly when we take a look at the present time and see the machinations of many people, including those of their priests. Almost everyone plays his game with the other one, as though he were God himself, but God, the Eternal, does not play games with his creatures. However, the many human gods, who are like the god Baal, the Avenger God, demonstrate the fall thought that is, I am my own best friend. Everything only for me, I don't care about the other, unless I can use him, that is to say, abuse him, as I want to. Such a theft of energy is far more widespread on the earth than we would think. Apparently, we human beings are heading toward the basest point, toward self-adulation. According to the law of cause and effect, as a soul we will be just as we were as human beings. In the beyond, we will then continue with our self-delusion in a similar way. But let us briefly return to the estrangement from God's love, freedom and unity. God, the Eternal, gave the renegade beings, his children, a substantial amount of positive, divine energy to take with them as alone. Many of us know that everything is energy and that no energy is ever lost. All cosmos is formed by way of this loan from God. We people call the one the material cosmos and the other, which exists above the material cosmos, the finer material cosmos. The finer material cosmos is the place of residence of the souls, where further cosmic soul realms open up. These are called order, will, wisdom, earnestness. On the path to the kingdom of God, kindness, love and gentleness are added. The stars and planets of both cosmoses consist of countless repository planets, which justly record the for and against of the person and his soul. That is, they register and update it at every moment according to the patterns of behavior of the person. The religious scam of the caste of priests leads to dependency. There is no religion in the kingdom of God. God is love, freedom and unity. The bad state of our world with its people is, on the one hand, to be attributed to the indifference of the people and, on the other hand, to their dependency on religions and their priests. Priests of all types founded external religions, using scare tactics to put the fear of God into the people, which found expression in countless cults, rites and dogmas. People are tied into the religious scam with the statement that it is only the guild of priests who have the truth. At all times, the caste of priests tridents tries to put the noose of dependency around the neck of its believers, provided with the engraving that says, "You have to. Whoever does not do what corresponds to our doctrine and whoever does not belong to our religion is eternally damned." Is such a thing written in God's law of love for God and neighbor, of freedom and unity? This type of binding ecclesiastical law regulations has nothing to do with God, who is the love, freedom and unity. In the kingdom of God there is no religion, however it may call itself. There are no ceremonies, no rites, cults and traditions. God, the Eternal, is the All Law. He, the All One, is the Creator in His creation. He is the life in nature, in every animal, but also in the soul of each person. God is the Spirit of freedom. His power is the I Am. God in us. God in His creation, indivisibly and eternally present in I Am the I Am. God, the Eternal, also did not send any divine beings, who, as human beings, He consecrated as priests. Priests proselytize for their religion and bind the people to people. Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ of God, calls upon the people to follow Him, that is, Jesus, the Christ. He rejected the whole guild of priests with the following words, "But you are not to be called Rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brethren." Mark 23:8. Jesus of Nazareth said the following, and it is also passed on in the Bible of the churches and should give us people something to think about. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them but to fulfill them." Mark 5:17. He did not say, "I have come to fulfill the word of the priests." May the one who has ears to hear, hear. And yet, the majority of the people listened and listens to the caste of self-consecrated priests and pastors. If what the caste of priests taught to the people, and in which so many church believers believe and are bound to, were the truth, then today the earth would be in much better shape. It would be a flourishing planet. Then the people would respect and appreciate God, the Creator of life, by fulfilling His will. God, the Creator, loves His creatures. He is present in soul and person, in the animal and in nature, in all the cosmoses. God, the law of love, unity and freedom, is effective. As a rule, the priests and those faithful to their religion know only what corresponds to the law: divide, bind and rule. With this divisive and dominating principle, they have led the earth to the brink of collapse and turned their believers into their subjects. Respect, treasure and safeguard your life. After your demise, your soul will live on. When, as a human being, we pass on, the energy we have sent out is not nullified. Everything we do and refrain from doing is energy, which is recorded as a sequence of pictures, like a film, which, according to the cosmic law, stimulates the person, and after it discards its body, the soul, to rectify whatever is pending from our energy inputs. Unfortunately, our soul can be described as the holding tank of our negative energies. The human being is responsible for every pro and con. We human beings, as well as our soul body, store everything. If you, dear fellow people, think about what is written here, which is only a very brief sketch of what all takes place in the astral spheres, then perhaps you will feel compassion for your soul, which, via your conscience, struggles for a long time against accepting without further ado your all too human excesses of every type and means. If a person has killed off his conscience to such an extent that he no longer feels, or perceives, its impulses, then the soul can no longer defend itself. It stores whatever the person inputs into it. During our daily life, let us think about the fact that the soul stores the entire content of our feeling, thinking, speaking and acting, all our excesses, everything that is against the will of God, against the cosmic law, and furthermore, all this is stored in corresponding repository planets of the cosmoses. From person to person, I ask you to respect, treasure and safeguard your life. Life has no boundaries. After your demise, your soul will live on. Where? This is determined by each one of us, ourselves, because just as the tree falls, so will it lie. Many readers who concern themselves with the topic astral horror will use such words as atrocious or I don't want to have anything to do with this when referring to the earthbound souls that carry out their nefarious deeds on people, or even describe them as diabolical. Who are these obsessed souls that influence, besiege, possess people, or play their wicked games on them? And where do they come from? They come from the human bodies that have passed on. The human being is today what tomorrow the soul will be after discarding its body. No one knows whether he will still be a human being tomorrow, because no person knows when his last hour will strike. Many a conscientious reader comes to realize more and more that the earthbound souls are not earthbound by chance. They are always people who have burdened the indwelling soul to such an extent that it cannot get away from the earth and from people, and that it remains addicted because the human being was addicted, whereby addiction can be something quite complex or many-layered. It can be an addiction to the ego, to dominance, to jealousy, to sexuality, to drinking and eating, to the internet and much more. A part of this is also the addiction to passion that is often nursed in thoughts. For example, the addiction to murder or to torment or the addiction to delighting oneself in the suffering of others. Don't allow the time of grace, the time of protection, to lapse unused. What makes a soul earthbound? Everyone has his fate in his own hand. Every person is granted a so-called time of grace. We can also call it a time of protection. Every person is protected for a certain time by the positive power in him from the core of being, and by his guardian being. During this so-called time of grace or protection, it is pointed out to the person again and again that he should keep the inner values, which Jesus gave us an understanding of in the following, "Do to others as you would have them do to you." Or said in a different way, "What you do not want others to do to you, do not do to another." There are many, very many leads, which are the guidance from within, from the very basis of our soul, from the core of being in us, or directly, from our guardian being, which inputs a lot, a great deal, because it accompanies us. A so-called time of grace or protection can last for several years, with some people, even many years, depending on when the time of protection starts. But at some point, this span of time inevitably comes to an end. The positive energies withdraw. The person is now challenged as to how he wants to live, how he wants to be, because the positive power is the divine and the very basis of each soul. It is the free spirit of life, which does not spoon-feed or decide for the human being and soul. And our guardian being, our invisible companion, orients itself according to God's will. And then the question proves to be the following: what has the person accepted or only conditionally accepted during this time of grace, or protection, or did he completely and utterly reject the many leads and help altogether? Each person determines this himself. The human being is what he makes of himself. How he thinks and lives becomes his character, that is his nature. Everything, but really everything, that the person thinks and speaks on a daily basis, what he does, what addictions he acquires, how he treats his fellow man, what drives him and what he carries out from this, how often, how intensely and for how long, all this is nothing other than energy, which the person transfers to his soul during the course of his days on earth, of his life on earth. It is totally up to the person himself, whether he makes his soul earthbound by tying it to the thorn of his flesh. To this extent, the question is answered of who the earthbound soul is and where it comes from. Who is it that, with all possible negativity, enslaves his soul, which should be following the path to the eternal homeland? It is none other than man himself, for he is the one who decides about his soul. Just as the tree falls, that is how it will lie. And just as the person calls into the canyon, that is how it will echo back. The attitude and behavior of the human being on this side of life is the echo from the beyond, the call of his soul. And so, any one of us who believes in the existence of a soul that incarnated into a human being as an ethereal being, as a fine material form, in order to clear up as a human being on this side of life, what it had caused and not rectified in a previous incarnation, should thoroughly think over his life on earth. He should question himself, what evil really lies behind his attitudes and behavior on this side of life, in order to rectify it in time, before the tree falls. As stated, no person knows when the last hour will strike for him as a human being. Perhaps already tomorrow, that is, after our physical demise, we will be the one who we were as a human being still today. Today we are called a human being, tomorrow, a soul. Tomorrow, as a soul, we may know ourselves just as little as we know ourselves today as a human being. Most people simply live through the day, nursing their ego and perhaps their programs of addiction, whereby in today's time, there are ever more opportunities for addiction, and they don't even know, or don't want to know, what is in effect behind their external, driven behavior. They are not aware of who they really are. They do not give an account of themselves. They do not take full responsibility for what they do or do not do. Perhaps as a soul tomorrow, they will not know themselves, either. For whoever does not question his life, his thinking, speaking and doing, is a stranger to himself. Headline: Addiction Seeks Addicts. To be numbed with egoism and other programs of addiction can last a long time. The time, until a soul lets go of its programs of addiction, may be controlled by various forms of seduction. The influences are very many. There are different forms of latching onto human beings by the egocentricity and addictions of the soul. If an addiction cannot immediately be satisfied, then quite often the addicted one goes wild. Similar things can be seen with souls. If a soul that was made addictive by its person cannot live out its program of addiction that was forced onto it by the person, if the soul cannot apply it because no human being is accessible to it, then it becomes raving mad. We can say that the addiction always seeks out an addict. The accumulated backlog of frustration then takes on the form of raving madness. Perhaps these words can be of help to many a one to think about himself. The request to you, to all of us is, pay attention. May we all pay attention to the content of everything that we utter and what we want and do. We transfer everything, but really everything, to our soul. A request to us all, turn back. Let us all turn back. Let us turn away from everything that is impure, from everything that besets us and that is against every kind of higher ethics and morals. Do not allow yourself, let us not allow ourselves, to be tempted and seduced. Let us take good care of our body and of our soul. For, as mentioned, just as we are today as a human being, we could, perhaps, be as a soul already tomorrow. For none of us human beings knows when it is his last hour. A person should be aware of his divine origin. We human beings have become estranged to nature in many different ways. And yet, in nature, the eternal spirit, God, can be even more directly effective. Every animal, every plant, every stone lets itself be carried and led by the divine ray of power, which ranges and regulates the course of its life. For example, many migrating birds build their nests in the northern climes and raise their young there, until all of them fly south, often thousands of kilometers distant. In the following year, they return and move into the nests they left behind. After such a long time and such great distances, the migrating birds precisely find the way back to their home. They know their place of destination. And what about us human beings? Are we aware of where we come from? Most people know nothing about their eternal homeland. Even the knowledge of the way home has been lost to us, although God, our Heavenly Father, showed us the way through His prophets again and again, and at that, even today, during our time. And nevertheless, each one will have to follow this path at some point in time. Let us make use of the days of grace that are given to us. Gabrielle, end of this audio extract from this book, Astral Horror,